Last time we got together, man, we was in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Man, just good to have you all tonight. I love you. I just love being in this house and just love everything the Lord's doing in our lives. And so excited about the future. Don't forget, Pastor Steve Summerall will be here March the 29th. One service only, 10:30 a.m., March 29th. Is that correct? We got everything booked, ready to go, and he's excited. And so we're going to get him in the house March 29th. Bring anybody and everybody to that service. It's going to be a great time in the Lord. I'm looking forward to it. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12, we begin in just going back a little bit on verse 1, it says, "And these are the statutes and the judgments which you can do if you want to do them." No. "Which you shall observe to do in the land." You know, you read the modern translations of preachers and their notes and all that, and it sounds like it's the suggestions of God. God doesn't make suggestions. He makes commandments. He may have some things that he suggests to you that will go good for you if you obey them, but really it's kind of a wink and a nod saying, you know what, if you just obey, you're going to be okay. You might want to write that down. If you obey, you're going to be okay. In fact, that would make a pretty good T-shirt, wouldn't it? If you obey, you're going to be okay. And we'll pass that out to all little elementary children, and we'll have a big giant paddle on the back. If you obey, you'll be okay. If you don't, then you won't. How's that, Tony? That worked pretty good? We're going to make a million shekels, buddy. We're going to hit it big. All right, so check it out. "These are the statutes." We're just beginning in verse 1, chapter 12, just for those who just come in so you can kind of get your notes together. So how long are you going to do it? You're going to do as long as you live. As long as you live. See, Christianity isn't temporary. Let me try that again. Christianity is not temporary. It's eternal. I'm not a temporary Christian. I'm not a weekend warrior. I don't show up once in a while. I'm there always. And I don't mean just in church because we have reasons why we can't be here. But I'm talking about my relationship with God. I'm not hot and cold. You know, I may ebb and flow. I may go like this sometimes with my relationship with God, but I still got my foot on the throttle. Come on now. I might let off at a curve. Maybe I don't know what's going on around that curve, but I'm going to punch it and stay in relationship. So he said for always, always we keep that relationship. Okay. And then number two, verse two was get rid of the gods, the idols, get rid of them, basically meaning get rid of the sin. So he's telling the children of Israel, this template here, you're going to go in and possess the land, but here's what you got to do. You got to obey me for always. And then you've got to go ahead and get rid of these idols and things. Again, I don't understand what's so hard about Christianity. I don't get it. I don't get this thing. I don't get where people struggle so much. When you get saved, get rid of the junk. And if you can't get rid of it yourself, get help. How do you get help? You get help through prayer. You get help through discipleship. You get help by going to the Father and laying on the table. Not the buffet table, the surgery table. You go to surgery. You go to John chapter 15 and you say, go ahead, you know, cut me. Cut me, Mick. You know, some of y'all Rocky fans remember that. Cut me, Mick. I mean, cut me, Father, whatever you got to do. Get rid of this thing and get it out of me. All right. So verse 3, what we talked about there, cleansing the land. Again, that's another part of discipleship. So how does Deuteronomy fit for today? It fits perfectly. Cleanse the land. Get rid of the stuff in your life. Get rid of the phone numbers. Get rid of the photos. Get rid of the this and that. Hey, some folks need to get rid of the CDs that your beau gave you. Forever Young. Oh, every time I hear that, I just break down. Crush the CD. Don't listen to it anymore. Pray for Rod Stewart to get saved. I mean, you know what I mean? But you have people all, you know what I'm talking about. Every time I hear that, I just go to pieces. Shut it off. Why go to pieces? I don't want to go to pieces for people. I want to go to pieces for God. I mean, you know, if I want to cry, I want to cry about how good he is. Okay, so cleanse the land. And if you separate yourselves from those attachments, watch this, you'll separate yourself from the strongholds. and you'll have less issues in your life. You'll be less emotional. You'll be less of a codependent person. Really, codependency can be fixed if you learn how to cut. If you learn how to snip and cut and separate, you wouldn't be codependent on anybody. You would be independent and only dependent upon God. Very powerful, but psychology and all these, they keep you trapped. Verse 5, we talked about the place. Remember that? He chooses the place. He chooses the place. He chose this place, and then he chose you. He chose this spot of ground to be what it was for all those years, and then God put us here. He put you here. Wherever you are right now, he put you there. Verse 6 through 7, we talked about there. Verse 8, we talked about, look, you just can't do it anyway. I wrote in my notes, sorry, Nike. You know, you can't just do it. No, you got to do it God's way. God's way. That's the way it gets done. Verse 11, a place called there. Verse 13 through 14, we talked about the place. Anytime God repeats himself, he's not wasting paper and killing trees. He's saying it for a reason for you and I to catch something, that there is an important truth there. It's called the place. What is the place? The place is destiny. What is destiny? Jesus is your destiny. Wherever Jesus is will be the best place you'll ever be. Let me say that again. Wherever Jesus is the best place you'll ever be. And if you let him lead you, you will be in that place called destiny. Because he's not going to lead you astray. My voice, what? My sheep do what? They hear my voice. They know my voice. All right? And they follow. They follow no other. But who? Him. He's the great shepherd. Okay. Oh, man. Verse 16, we talked about idolatry. Bring into the storehouse, verse 17. Shamar, verse 19. And remember the bless the priesthood. This ought to be preached in every church in America, because we have a disconnection many times between the pulpit and the pew and the chairs, if you will, because we have a parliamentary type of church that says, Pastor, you work for us and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And then you have a CEO type of pastor who doesn't care at all about the people, just cares about money and things like that. And then there becomes this disconnect. We all know this. But God put it in the word here concerning the Levites. If you bless the Levites, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. So if you take care of the fivefold ministry, you take care of the priest, the pastor, what have you, God is going to bless you. And it becomes a great relationship. And what comes back out of that? It comes back to you as a priesthood who loves you. And they're there for you. And they smell like sheep. You want to know a true shepherd, he'll smell like sheep. Now watch this now. That's why I have such a hard time with the megachurch people and stuff like that. Not because we're jealous, not because they're large. They don't smell like sheep. They get ushered in and ushered out. How many do you see at the foyer? How many do you see at a picnic? I've been in megachurches. I've worked for megachurches. I've been in the back rooms. My wife and I have been in the back rooms. Very, very few are with the folks. They're jetting off. They're going here. They're going there. That's not a true shepherd. A true shepherd is with the sheep. Amen. And sometimes you get sheep dip on your shoes. Sheep dip. What is that? That's the stuff that's out in the pasture. Come on now. If you're going to go in the pasture, you're going to get something on your feet. And that's what happens. Come on, somebody. They roll around in it too. And you got these fancy dancy guys. They don't want to smell like it. Well, come on, man. Either you are a shepherd or you isn't. All right. I don't know if you can Google that, but it might come up that. Anyways, so let's go on. Leviticus 17, 21, that was found in verse 23. Again, points to Calvary, redemption, talking about the blood and all that awesome truth there. So go back and listen to that again. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 13. Now that I got your attention about the sheep dip, let's go to verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder come to pass. And the sign or the wonder come to pass. Do you mean that somebody that is a false prophet can give a sign and a wonder and it come to pass? Yes. We'll discuss that in a minute. Wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God, watch this, proveth you. So first of all, he's saying that there are going to come dreamers and prophets in this new land, that they are going to have a prophetic word or a sign or a wonder or a token or something that tries to confirm what they have said. And God's saying that there will be confirmation. A clock that is broken is correct twice a day. Is that right? That's exactly right. It's correct twice a day, a.m. and p.m. If it's stuck on 3, it's correct at 3 a.m. and it's correct at 3 p.m. Thank you. Y'all have to think, what's he talking about? Except digital, you're wrong. It's digital. No, you know. Well, you got me on that one. Unless it's stuck on the digital 3. Let's not get technical. But my point is, they can be right. There can be shades of correction, shades of truth, shades of accuracy. But it's not found in that. That God was trying to teach them and warn them, it was found in the fact that they were misleading folks. Okay, and I'll clarify that in just a little more, because many times we think, well, somebody is wrong and they could be absolutely wrong. No, there are people that can operate in divine, or should I say it this way, not really in divine, but in a familiar spirits that could have a sense of something and be correct in it, but be absolutely wrong in the end. Does that make sense? That's why you must be very careful. And I'm going to explain it again in a minute. Okay, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or the dreamer or dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Now that's powerful right there. Does that happen today? Yes. Yes, it does. But he says, I'm going to allow these guys, these gals, to have a sense of accuracy and a sense of truth about them. But the point will be, do you love me enough to follow me and what I've said? Now watch this. It all goes back to the word, not the signs and wonders. Because it goes back to, will you love me to obey me? Not will you be thrilled by a word or a dream or a dreamer or a false prophet. Because it wasn't that they showed a sign. It was what they said he was concerned about. And that was to lead them away. That's why we sit here sometimes in Christianity and we see these charlatans on television and whatever, and they're just blasting stuff out. And, you know, and those of us who know the Bible a little bit, we go, that's heresy. Run, get out of the churches. And they're multiplying more and more. And you're sitting there going, can't you guys see this? How many of y'all have done that before? Screamed at the television or something like that and watched the church continue to grow and grow. And it's like the Lord is proving. The Lord is trying them. Do you really love me? Or are you going after this? See, this is why Jesus said an evil generation seeketh after a sign. I don't seek after signs. I don't go after signs and wonders. They follow me. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that these signs shall follow you. I don't follow signs. I don't follow prophets. I don't follow bloggers. I don't follow people that have the bang, the boom, the whistle of the supernatural. I look for the words of God, because the words of God are the truth. And those that have the bells and the whistle, now I'm going to talk about that in more detail in a minute, but those you have to be very careful, because if they don't lead you to the word, they're absolutely wrong, even though it seems so right. Even though it looks so good. I've always said this for years and years and years. I've always said that if it looks like God, it doesn't always mean it is God. Just because it glitters doesn't mean it's God. You ever had fool's gold in your hand before? A lot of people buy fool's gold all the time. They have no idea. So let's go back. So he said, I'm going to prove you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. And you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Okay. So in verse 3, I want you to write down your notes. It's called testing. God allows a testing to take place. He tests us. So many people follow after ministries because of the supernatural things that are there. And don't get me wrong, absolutely signs and wonders and miracles follow the believer. Absolutely, they confirm the word of the Lord. Absolutely, these things take place. But they are not the thrust of our lives. No different than prophecy. If you have a prophetic ministry, that's not the thrust. The thrust of your life is first biblical sound word teaching, doctrine. And out of that doctrine comes a pursuit for the presence of God. And out of the pursuit of the presence of God comes all the giftings. For it's the rivers of living water. It's out of the rivers of the Holy Spirit that flow all the giftings of God. Well, if that river is tainted, if that river is not in the rock bed of truth, then guess what? It's all polluted. You better have the right rock bed. You better have the right river bed. You better have the right source of the flow, which is the Holy Ghost, okay? But watch this on verse 4. I wrote this down. I thought it was pretty cool. This is basically the Christian life and the 6 steps to kingdom success. Okay, it's very easy. And I took this out of the NASB. Okay, it's a different Bible translation. It's a really great translation. In fact, according to the scholars that I know, it's one of the most accurate translations in the world. But the NASB, watch this. Here's how it's written as opposed to the way King James does. Number 1, follow. Come on, these are the 6 steps to kingdom success. Number 1, you got to follow him. You want to be successful in the kingdom? Follow him. Wherever the Lamb goes. But guess what? He's going to go to Calvary. Amen. He's headed to Calvary. You better follow him. Better pick up your cross and get your share of splinters. Number 2, fear him. Number 2 is to fear. So I'm going to follow him and then I got to fear him. Number 3 is to keep or to what? Guard. I got to guard this thing. I got to guard my reverence. I got to guard my fellowship with him. I got to guard how I follow him. Number 4 is to listen. You can't be all mouth. You ever try to talk to somebody and they're the mouth? Really, they ask you a question. So how you doing? Well, and then you start to tell them and they say, well, let me tell you about my bunion. You've never seen a bunion like this bunion, buddy. Wow. No, I've never seen a bunion like yours. And then you just cut off and just say, okay, whatever. All right, so no, you listen. Part of the obedience, but you listen. Prayer is not always you yapping and pulling out your laundry list. Dear God, it's me. My washer's broke down, my toaster won't toast, and my iron won't iron. And he's like, I know that. Listen. It's a time of listening. All right, so I said, man, you know my prayers. Number 5, serve. Serve. You serve the Lord. How do you serve the Lord? You serve him by serving others. You serve him by listening. You serve him by all kinds of manners and means. And then number six, I love this one, is to cling to. I like how he puts it at the end. Just cling to him. When all else fails, just grab a hold of him. Remember grabbing a hold of mommy and daddy when they were leaving for work or whatever, and you're in tears and, you know, whatever. Just grab a hold of them, or a grandparent, you know. Cling to them. You say, that's childish. No, man, that's relationship. Because sometimes I don't know what to do. I just cling to them. I'm like, Daddy God, I don't know. I can't figure this thing out. I don't have a control of this thing. You know, the other day I just went to the Lord. I just said, help me. You know, that's some of the most powerful prayers you could ever pray. You know, people get all theological and deep and spiritual. I mean, sometimes it's just, Daddy God, help. If you know Spanish, it's ayuda, ayuda, help me. All right, so let's go past that. That's pretty cool. That's kingdom. But they won't tell you that in these seminaries, in these big conferences. They'll tell you to buy their book, you know, get Botox, get a tummy tuck, get all this, get that, you know, and be like me and you'll be on TBN. Come on, I don't want to be on TBN. I want to do this right here and live a successful life in Christ. All right, so verse 5, now he's going back to the prophet. And that prophet, notice how he sandwiched that verse 4 in there. Because he said, verse 3 and then verse 5, you know, you can have these prophets, you can have these dreams, you can have these bells and whistles and these so-called supernatural things or whatever. But let me show you what matters the most, verse 4. Let me show you the meat. Follow me, serve me, cling to me, and don't go after these charlatans. Why does the body of Christ chase idols? Especially pulpit dudes and dudettes. Why? I don't get it. I understand attraction. I understand connection. I understand family. I understand those things. And that's what makes likability. I get it. Character and connection. I got it. But so many times the people follow these charlatans and they don't study the Bible to see if it's true. And they're connected. They're connected to a building. Oh, we go to that one big mausoleum. Big deal. You know what a mausoleum is? That's what a mausoleum is. Right. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing how people do that. And God is so simple in his relationship with us. He made it so simple that even a child could follow him. Why do we complicate it? And why do we not study the word of God and test the spirits of those that serve and those that are over us? I believe that if we really would do that, we would be so much better in the body of Christ. And I'm going to show you some things that are going to make us better in a minute. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death. Woo-wee. Well, that goes about 90% of the body. And he should be put to death because he hath what? He has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage. There's that terminology, house of bondage. We've been studying it, haven't we? We saw it 3 or 4 times already. God's reminding you, I took you out of the house of bondage. Why are you going back into it? Why are you being bound by some false prophet and some false dreamer? Why are you being bound by a charlatan? You've gone from the witchcraft of your sinful days of drugs and alcohol. Now you're going into spiritual witchcraft in so-called Christendom. Do you get it? You're now with the angel of light. Now you're moving in things that are incorrect in the spirit of darkness. The Lord's like, this is why Paul was like, you're being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Get stable in God and quit following these guys. Out of the house of bondage, thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in, so that they put this evil away from the midst of thee. So let's stop there for a second. That's pretty heavy duty, don't you think? That's pretty heavy. And in my notes, I wrote, wow, what a jealous God. Think for just a second. Now, I'm going to get into the contemporary modern times. So don't think that we teach and preach this, that we go out and kill them. That's not it. But think about how jealous God was. He said, you put them to death because they're taking you out of the way. They're taking you from me, and I'm a jealous God, and I love you, and I will have no other above me, and I'll have no one that will mislead my people. Kill them. Well, that'll get you arrested today. It's called terroristic threats. Nobody can arrest you, Father, but that's how strong he felt concerning the children of Israel and concerning them being led astray. Now, let's take the template to truth to today. Does it apply today? Yes, it does, but not in that manner, in this manner. This manner is I am to totally disconnect myself and consider all that stuff dead to me. Well, didn't you hear the latest from such and such? No, and I don't care. Don't you know that person's a charlatan? Don't you know that's a false prophet, false prophetess? Don't you know they're shacking up? Don't you know they've had 10 billion relationships? Don't you know they've been involved in tax evasion and embezzlement? Oh, yeah, but they got a word. Yeah, they got a word. It's called penitentiary. It's called jail cell. It's called jailhouse rock. I almost broke out in it, Tony. Almost a little. You know, I'm telling the truth. And then people just are all amazed by it. So no, it becomes dead to me. Why would I want to follow that? Why would I want to be a part of that? So no, we don't actually do that anymore. Thank God. Aren't you glad for the times you've been wrong and nobody's killed you? But this is not somebody who's missed it by mistake. Now watch this. This is talking about false prophets. Now, if somebody makes a mistake, we all have. We've predicted things or we said things we think God's going to do. And you know, we're all trying to hear. You know in part. You hear in part. You walk in part until we see the fullness of God. Everybody in this room and everybody watching me, if you're honest, I don't care if you predicted a football game or such and such was going to happen. The point of a false prophet is somebody who misleads intentionally. They are in trouble. They are the ones that God has his eyes on, that if they don't repent, he will deal with them. So in the meantime, what do I do in modern days? What do I do with this scripture? Again, I take those things, those enemies of the cross, and I totally consider them dead to me. People get mad at you and say, well, why don't you watch so-and-so? Why don't you listen to so-and-so? Have no use for them. I found error in their teaching, and I'm not going to follow them. Yeah, but don't you know, the blinded eyes, this, it doesn't make a difference. If they do not line up with the word of God, I don't follow. All right, watch this. Now watch verse 6. And if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is in thine own, as thy own soul, talking about that real close relationship like a Jonathan and David, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou or thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him or hearken unto him, neither shall thy eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. Are you reading the same Bible I'm reading? But thou shalt surely kiss him. No, there's a K there, but that is what? Kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. Woo-hoo-hoo. Man, this sounds like a script of a movie, man. Definitely PG-13. Now, how does that apply? Well, first of all, I want to go back to my statement. Wow, he is a jealous God. Now, obviously, through the cross, that doesn't apply today. Or there'd be no one on the earth, but maybe a couple of us. That's not the point. The point is this, that God is a jealous God, and he wanted those things eradicated among them so they would not go back to the gods of Egypt. They wouldn't go back to foreign gods from near to the other end of the earth. Do not allow it to be in the camp. Do not allow it to be in your society, in your communities. Do not allow that to be upon your heart. Does it apply today? Yes, we do the same thing. We do it this way. Brother, I love you, but I am not going to follow your ways. I love you, but we're not going to fellowship in that manner. I love you and I pray for you and I'll do everything I can for you to get off of these drugs and get off of this and get off of that. And I'll be there if you need me, but I'm not going to participate with you. Well, don't you know that there are millions of ways to God? I rebuke you. No, there's only one way. His name is Jesus. And I love you. And if you can't hang out with me and the truth of the Bible, we got to depart from one another. I don't have time to go into what Paul says. Paul says, don't even break bread with them. There are some people you can only go so far and you witness so long, and then you have to say, I'm done. Because they end up corrupting you. Some of us remember when we first got saved, you know, you're not that strong and you've gone through backslides, you know, and you have episodes in your life, you know, where you just get enticed by friends or whatever. You're not so strong. How many of y'all been through that or know somebody who's been through that? It's because of the connection with people. You got to cut it and slice it and dice it. And to you, they're dead people. Not in the negative way. Don't take that wrong. What I mean by that is they're just, they're lost. They're gone. You pray and you have pity, but you can't intermingle because you end up drawing yourself back into that. I can only tell you my testimony. I can only say what happened to me. When I got saved, I disconnected myself to any and everybody I possibly could. Why? Because I needed to. It was survival for me because I'm an addictive person. I am an addictive person, and my personality is addictive. And, buddy, I'd have been right back in the mess with everybody, and I'd have been seven times worse. And I knew I had to be like Paul and go to the desert. How many of y'all done that? But I didn't leave them. I mean, I came back, and I've tried to witness, and you know the stories. This is how severe this is. And this is why I have a big-time issue with people getting saved at the altar, and the pastors and the deacons and the leaders do not disciple them and help them grow to be strong. They just say, go on out there. Go on out there. Yeah, back of them woods, you and Jesus can handle this. No, no, Jesus can handle it, but you can't. And you ain't got enough Jesus in you to handle it. In fact, you smell fresh to the enemy. How many of y'all remember getting saved? You fresh, boy. And that enemy wants to tear you up. Why? So you'll never go back to Jesus. You'll never go back to that church. Why? Because you got bit. Look, sometimes it's easier to live in the world. It's good, isn't it? But this is the overlay of truth. This is what he's trying to show. So no, we don't go out there and do that to anybody, obviously. My gosh, that's insanity. But this is how God felt about it. Everybody say, thank God for grace and thank God for the cross. Yeah, and you, believe it or not, there are some people who are this fanatical, and not only in false religions, but in some people in Christianity, they go crazy. But no, that's not what he's saying to do. All right, so verse 9. Was that? Yeah, thou shalt surely kill him, thine hand, and the first. And be the first upon him and put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. I wanted to go back to that for the reason And I was reading this, and the Holy Spirit reminded me, because I'm like, okay, did you just read what I just read? First of all, you're going to take your hand, and you're going to kill him. And then everybody else is going to kill him again. And the Lord reminded me, you ever seen the passion of those? And I'm not pinpointing people for any other reason than just the reality of this. But you ever see them over in the Middle East when they go crazy over something and you violate Islam, you violate something? They don't only kill them. They kill them and kill them and kill them again. They mutilate them. They maul them in various countries of the world. You ever seen that? For their deep passion for it, that's some of that rooted right there. That's some of that expression right there. That's being zealous for their God, if you will, their nation, or what have you, their religion. And when I saw that, I was reminded of like, oh, wow, that's why, you know, it's not enough just to maul them and kill them. They got to kill them and kill them. It's that passion. We'll just flip this over for a second. Let's get away from that error that people are in and that vengeance. And let's just say, what if we had that passion towards people in a good way? What if we had that same fire and passion towards God and towards people? That makes sense? No, I don't want to see you die. I want to see you live. I want to see you come to the cross of Calvary. Amen. But there is a time for you to separate yourself for sure. And thou shalt stone him with stones, verse 10, that he die, because he has sought to, watch this, to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. There it is again. And all Israel shall hear and fear and shall say, no more any such wickedness as this is among you. In other words, we're done with it. We're not going to have this wickedness in our land. And thou shalt hear him say in one of the cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell therein, saying, certain men. Now, verse 13, certain men. King James says certain men, but other translations say worthless men and lawless men. I like that translation better. Worthless and lawless. Does that apply today? Yes. If you're trying to draw me away from God, if you're trying to draw me away from the truth of the word, you are worthless and you are lawless. I can't believe that. That's rough. Hey, man, if we would start doing that and calling a spade and calling them what they are and calling charlatans what they are and false prophets what they are, they couldn't live in the daylight. They'd have to sneak around in the dark like a snake, because we'd be there at every corner saying, uh-uh, you're a liar, you're a fraud, wouldn't we? But watch this. Certain men, the children of what? Beel, which is what? The children of the devil. You're a child of the devil. That's what we need to be calling them. That's what we need to tell people that are pulling folks away. That's why we call the Rob Bells of America in different places, different people. We call them the devil. You're a child of the devil, Rob Bell. You need to get saved. If you all know who that is, that's the one that hangs around Oprah and believes that there is no hell. Or Carlton Pearson, who believes in inclusionism, which says that even the devil gets saved. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Somebody has to say it. I care nothing about their popularity or their millions of dollars or whatever they have. You're leading people astray. You are worthless and lawless because you're drawing folks away from Christ and the truth. Somebody say amen. And you have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which you not known. And they shall, oh, then thou shalt inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, verse 15, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, with the edge of the sword. So he basically said, if you find out they're even secretly meeting to lead you astray and to take you from my way and to take you from my bosom and to take you from my love and to take you from my truth, kill them. Teresa's like, wow. God said that? I'm with you. I'm looking at her. She's like, I'm with you. Because when I read that, I'm like, wow. I'm so glad. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You know, it's like, oh, man, praise God. Thank God for Calvary. But listen, he's saying this out of absolute care, concern, and love for his creation and love for his people. He doesn't have an ego trip. He's not saying, you know, he is saying only me, but he's not saying it in such a way to be vindictive. He's saying it because he knows what's going to happen if they turn from him. His anger will be kindled, and he'll have to destroy them. He'll have to punish them. He'll have to judge them. He doesn't want any man to perish. Isn't that what the Bible says? That all should come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his desire, his plan, and his will. But that's heavy Chevy right there to say, go out and just destroy them all. Now, how does that work for me and you today? Watch this. If we, and this is why I have a hard time with politics and Christianity. I have a hard time with mixing this iron and clay together. It's really, really hard for me because I try to see it through the lens of the word, and people like to look at it through the lens of compromise. But if we truly are believers and we are truly following the way, the words of God, what if we did this to our communities and applied it and said, sin cannot exist here. Forget your political correctness. Sin does not exist here. Listen to me. I'm not talking about beating people with rods and having, you know, take them down to the gazebo and beat them. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is we absolutely have a standard of holiness and righteousness. You're not going to have a juke joint here. Somebody said, what's a juke joint? We ain't having a bar. We're not having a package lounge. We're going to do like the mayor did many years ago when they shut down this topless bar down here. There's never been another one yet. Not going to be, and we'll keep speaking to it. Some of y'all are part of praying about that. But if we put this into our communities, if we put it into our schools and say, you know what, we're not going to have this in our schools. We're going to have people that do righteous things. Again, I'm not talking about some type of kingdom now, some type of utopia that's impossible. What is possible is this, that even if it began just in my house, it began in your house, to where we say, you know what, we're going to live holy and righteous here. I can't help what my neighbor does, but we're going to do it here. And then what if that caught fire and then the next did it? And what if it caught fire to the local politicians, and on it goes. You see, we would have a very different life than we have right now, wouldn't we? So this plan wasn't bad. It was the plan of the day, but the plan for our hour is that we should live in righteousness and in holiness. And thou shalt gather all the spoils of it into the midst of the street. This is verse 16. Thereof, and shall burn it with fire. Take all their stuff and burn it. Burn it with fire, the city and the spoil thereof, every whit for the Lord thy God, and it shall be an heap forever, and it shall not be built again. God says, I don't want you touching it. Remember Achan? Israel was Achan because of Achan's sin. Achan stole. He disobeyed. God says, I don't even want you to have anything to do with it. Okay, how does that apply today? Get rid of the things of the world. Don't be a part of the world. Don't be a part of what they do. Keep yourself clean. Keep your eyes clean. Keep your heart clean. Keep what comes in your ears clean. Stay away from the things of the world. Verse 17. and there shall cleave not of the cursed thing to thy hand. There it is. Don't let nothing hold to your hands of the world. Get rid of it. That the Lord thy God turn from the fierceness of his anger and show thee mercy and have compassion upon thee and multiply thee as he has sworn unto thy fathers. So look at the remedy there. If I let go of the things of the world, if I don't cleave to those things, what will the Lord do? He'll turn his anger from me. He'll show me mercy. He'll have compassion on me and he'll multiply me. Do you think that applies today? Absolutely it does. He would look down and be, look, that's my son. That's my daughter. That household is a good house. That household is walking in the blessings and wholesomeness and holiness. I'm going to bless that house. Didn't say you're going to be free from trouble. Far from it. But one thing's for sure, people will know that you're a godly family. When they hear your name, when they go by your home, and when they come through your gates, they'll know you're blessed. Why? Because you don't have the cursed thing in your hands. Get it out. Get the cursed thing out. And finally, verse 18, when thou shalt hearken to the Lord, to the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep all the commandments which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. Wow. He said, you're going to do this thing. You're going to keep them. You're going to shamar. You're going to protect. You're going to grab hold of the truth of God. And you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to serve you, Lord. And I'm not going to let go. So in closing, again, how does that apply to us? Well, obviously, we don't do these things concerning the shedding of blood. We don't. The vengeance is mine. The Lord pays. He takes care of all that. It just simply means this. That as I walk my walk with the Lord, I'm not going to cling to the charlatans and the prophets, the false prophets and the dreamers of my day. They're not going to lead me astray. If somebody is teaching you and leads you away from God, that person is false. That person is a charlatan. I don't care if it's physical, it's an emotional thing, a relationship. If it's pulling you away from holiness, it's obvious it's not from God. If it's a preacher that's all about himself and about money and his ministry or her ministry and it's me, 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 and never God and never sacrifice and never holiness, ding, a bell should go off in your heart and your head and say, you know what, that's not correct and that I will not follow. And then finally, we're not to cling to the things of the world. There are Christians who live to see how close that they can get to hell and not get in it. There are Christians who live to see how close they can get to hell and not go into it. I want to get so far away from hell that the only time I visit it is when I'm trying to reach somebody and pull them out of it. You know what I mean, parenthetically. I'm taking them out of the clutches of the enemy. But other than that, I don't want it in my house. I don't want to hear it in my ears. Come on. I want to live according to righteousness and holiness.